You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 13th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com right now. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, all one word. It will open up pages of previous podcasts we've had on, and you'll see the one marked live. Click on that, you're in the studio. Welcome aboard. I know many end up can't see it at this time, but they go to it later. We can tell by the numbers coming in, and they're growing. I encourage you to subscribe. Subscribe to Larry Connors USA on Rumble.com, and, of course, continue to subscribe to LarryConnorsUSA.com, because that way you get all of our podcasts. Then you can go back and listen to them at any point you choose. And for those of you listening live, always glad to have you. But I know it's difficult with some schedules. I understand that. In fact, I've got numerous first responders that listen, and they cannot do it at this point. Mike was just showing me a picture of me in there, and did I look good on that? I look good, yeah. But, hey, you look pretty good, Larry, on Rumble.com. Those of you watching, you may have a different view, but that's from my eyes. So we have heard the story about the baby formula, and we cannot seem to get enough of it. And there are conflicting stories as to why. Part of it being that the formula, some specific formulas are needed because it will prevent babies from getting colicky and perhaps intestinal pain and discomfort, which will certainly make a baby scream and cry, as it would anyone. And then also that the FDA is insisting you can bring in an import baby formula from other countries, and a lot of mothers tend to like the imported formulas better, but they have to be done through an FDA licensed facility. The FDA doesn't actually regulate. They just want to make sure they're done safely, and I'm all for that. But then came word the other day that pallets of baby formula are being sent to holding facilities at the border for illegals. I will say again, I care about every child. In fact, one of the listeners wrote me regarding that yesterday saying, I'm with you, Larry, but I still think we need to take care of American kids first. Amen. They would not be in that facility if they had not traveled to get there, and I don't want any baby to suffer. But do you not want American children taken care of first? Well, if you do, then former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton would be president if it hadn't been for Russian collusion, you know. She said the Republican pro-life position is that certain babies should starve. Of course, she's upset that the Roe v. Wade may be overturned, and now over this outrage that baby formula is being shipped to border migrant camps despite an ongoing national shortage. She said, so I guess Republicans want babies to starve? No, that's not saying that at all. But there's no sense trying to clarify that woman. In fact, she is getting a lot of support from all the state-controlled media. They used to call them mainstream media. I call them state-controlled media now because they will have the White House. They have basically control of the Senate and the House at this point. And every one of them and their pundits on their broadcasts are fearful that, boy, Roe v. Wade gets overturned. You know what's next? Interracial and same-sex marriage would be banned. American households, when it comes to feeling good or bad about the economy, they're not happy, not happy at all. American households, according to the University of Michigan's latest index of consumer sentiment, they're feeling extremely rotten about economic conditions and their prospects. Joe Biden says that he's going to do everything he can for them, for everyone, and the gas prices. In the meantime, Florida Governor DeSantis, Republican, says, no, you're not. Prices are up over 50%, and you're not doing a thing because you don't care. You talk about being uptight about how much gas you're going to have, much less the price. Sri Lanka is now reporting in Sri Lanka they're down to 3 days of fuel. 3 days. Oh, and here's something you would have thought, how did this happen? Weren't we being told all the time that we're having a lot of hurricanes hit us and everything because of pollution in the air and climate change? And now clean air in the U.S. and Europe are brewing more hurricanes. Clean air is brewing more hurricanes.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all ships at sea, let's go to press. Dallas, Texas. The Texas special of the Katy line has been wrecked near Roy City, Texas, between San Antone and St. Lou. Several reported killed. Just happened. We may have more on it later. San Juan, Puerto Rico. The Nationalist Party of Puerto Rico is on the march. They are plotting violence and maybe a revolution after raiding armories for their guns. New York City. The police in New York have a new hot lead on the murder of a Bronx mobster. He was killed last week for welching on commissions due to a dope ring in East Harlem.
And that was the way the mobster went to did it at that time, and that was in a recording of one of many broadcasts he did. A staccato fashion, beginning with, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, men and women of North America and South America and all over the world, and ships at sea. Things of that nature. We've come, on one hand, a long ways from that, and on the other hand, we have not come so far from that style and presentation. Now, you put Walter Winchell's approach up against Walter Cronkite, and there's a clear distinction. You put Walter Winchell's approach to covering and how he did things up against the state-controlled media, and now the Biden White House truth minister, and you get pretty much, looks like the same soup to me. Now, Walter Winchell died in 1972. He was a syndicated American newspaper gossip columnist and radio news commentator. And see, there's a difference. They were still presenting that as news. And some of it was news, like the train wreck, and we might have more on it coming later. But then he would add in other words of the notorious gangster and things of that nature. In other words, colorful language. But the audience loved it. Folks listened constantly. You know, he began a vaudeville performer. That makes sense, doesn't it? And then he began his newspaper career as a Broadway reporter, critic, columnist for New York tabloids. Then with the Hearst newspaper chain in the 1930s, and then became a national celebrity, of course, with the popular radio program, and then known for that staccato news briefs mixed with jokes and so forth. His biographer claimed that Walter Winchell's popularity and influence, quote, turned journalism into a form of entertainment. Okay, here we are. Now we're up to 2022, aren't we? I used to have a news director, and any time we said something about, well, we need to get this to the show, he would say, it's not a show, it's a newscast. He would get incensed. You don't call my newscast a show. You might go to the circus for a show or go to the theater for a show, but it's a newscast. Yeah, but we still knew it was a show. That was then, and it still exists now, and even more so now, actually. And by that, I can refer to something that's going on right now. You know, of course, the Biden administration has come up with this Disinformation Governance Board with Director Nina Jankowicz, going to be the Minister of Truth. Well, today, this tweet came out of the White House. This is out of the White House. She's been on the JOB for 2 months now. You would think she would be alert to catching this and flagging it and saying this is disinformation. No, it never happened. Why would the source? Don't you get it? Don't you get it by now? It's the source. If it comes from their side, it's trusted. No questions asked. Now, I just had a guest on who wanted to argue the point. John Louboutier. I highly respect John. But I know and I remember, and I know you do, yes, Governor Blasio, I already looked that up right now. I didn't have time to do that while we're on the air with John, but let me resolve that right now, because if I'd had more time with John, I would have. I remember specifically New York Governor Cuomo, when it came to wanting or refusing vaccines brought into his state, Trump vaccines. Now, John was saying that didn't have, he said the first shot was actually given in New York. Well, here is a point here from CNN. This is CNN. Are you going to trust that source? Cuomo accused President Donald Trump of trying to use a potential coronavirus vaccine to intimidate him because he asserted Cuomo would hold up vaccine distribution. He said, well, he tries to bully people. Now, that's not the same thing I was talking about, but it fits somewhat in the category. But it was the other point that most of the objection came from, and here it is right here. Cuomo had said earlier, New York would review any U.S.-approved coronavirus vaccine, and he would not allow New Yorkers or would not recommend New Yorkers be vaccinated until the state-run process is complete. So if the state hadn't approved it and Trump got these companies at warp speed to come up with the vaccine, they did not want them in New York until they approved it. He said, I can say to the people of New York, I know you're dubious, but we had a separate panel review it. It's safe. Take it. They said that later. But in the beginning, they were not going to. I'm sure if my good friend John Louboutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York, a Reaganite, not a Trumper, would say, Larry, you still got that wrong. Okay, we'll have to battle that out sometime. But right now I've got the microphone and I have control. Sucks to be you, doesn't it? I'm sorry. But here's what happened at the White House today. The statement given by the White House on the White House Twitter account. When President Biden took office, millions were unemployed, and there was no vaccine available. But, though, then they go on to say, In the last 15 months, the economy's created 8.3 million jobs. Unemployment rate still at 3.6. And they don't get back into the vaccine. But, of course, the vaccine was available when Biden took office. He and Kamala got their shots. In fact, he got his second booster shot just before Christmas. So it was available. Now, is this not something, in fact, he got his first dose December 21, 2020. I thought that's when he got his second one. The second one might have taken place after, well, probably 10-plus days after that. May have actually been in the new year. But it was available January 2021 when he took office. That is a flat-out lie from Twitter, from the White House Twitter account. Should we not bring in the truth minister and have the truth minister make a declaration on if it's wrong? Nina Jankowicz is a propagandist full-time. Full-time. She still has not said she now accepts the Hunter laptop is real. She's denied that. The Washington Post and the New York Times finally admitted 18, 19 months afterwards, yeah, it was real. It was always real, and I think they knew it. But at the time, they didn't want to deal with it because it's going to the election within 30 days of the election or less when the New York paper broke that, the New York Post broke the story. And NPR wouldn't even touch it either. They said, well, we only cover news, and that's not news. So with the White House today using its own Twitter account to put out false information like that, wonder what Jankowicz would do. Well, here's what she said the other day when it comes to you. If you have a Twitter account and you don't have one of those little blue check marks, you don't have a little blue bird on your tweet, then you're not considered, quote, official. But she is.
There are a lot of people who shouldn't be verified who aren't, you know, legit, in my opinion. I mean, they are real people, but they're not trustworthy. Anyway, so verified people can essentially start to edit Twitter the same sort of way that Wikipedia is, so they can add context to certain tweets. So just as a easy example, not from any political standpoint, if President Trump were still on Twitter and tweeted a claim about voter fraud, someone could add context from one of the 60 lawsuits that went through the court, or something that an election official in one of the states said, perhaps your own Secretary of State and his news conferences, something like that, adding context so that people have a fuller picture rather than just an individual claim on a tweet.
As I do now with the White House tweet. Now, her remarks were made before today. So the White House had not done that. But, of course, the example she went quickly to was, well, if Trump were still on and he made some stupid thing, well, then we could add context to it. I'm looking right now. Yesterday on our podcast, we promoted talking about Biden proves he knows something. Somebody answered back, said, well, that'd be new. Anyway, the word COVID got put into some part of our copy. And on there, there's a notice right there, visit the COVID-19 Information Center for vaccine resources. I didn't say anything wrong. I didn't say anything wrong, but that's beginning of censorship. That's what she was saying. Some people shouldn't be on there anyway, so let's just take away their Twitter account entirely. Or we would then make sure that it's corrected. We'll have people that we trust to rewrite it. And then we have a bigger issue that's going on right now with Twitter. And, of course, Elon Musk was going to buy it. And I say was because there's been a new development. Maria Bartiromo got into that in talking to two of her guests today because this involves that the numbers, the economic numbers that Twitter's been posting, based on the number of followers it has, how many are real and how many are robotic. And how much does that sway the actual value of the company? One of the guests being a Wall Street Journal editor and the other being an Optimal Strategy analyst. Here we go.
I mean, whoever talked them into establishing a ministry of truth? I mean, think about it. The government is going to tell us what's true or not. The government's going to tell us what we can believe and what we can't. What could possibly go wrong? Number two, to pick Miss Jankowicz. You know, I'm sure that Jesus loves her, but everybody else on Capitol Hill thinks she's bizarre. Let me tell you what Miss Jankowicz will do if she gets power. She will devour the real truth like it was a light snack. What's true, in her opinion, is what she believes, and everybody else is a moron because she's one of the smartest people on the planet, in her opinion. Just ask her.
Yeah.
And you don't need somebody like that in government, but we don't need a ministry of truth.
Now, again, that is Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana. He's talking about the true people that exist on Twitter. But as I mentioned, there are a lot of questions now about how many on Twitter are real people and how many are robots. We're going to take a break because when we come back, when you hear the explanation as to why Elon Musk might be reevaluating the company, reevaluating the purchase, which I know is absolutely glorious news for Democrats because they're not for freedom of speech. We're going to hear how this unfolds and how it may or may not affect the actual buying of Twitter. But it stands that the minister of truth, as Senator Kennedy said, we don't need her.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Elon Musk tweeted this morning. Twitter deal temporarily on hold, pending details supporting calculation that spam fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. And of course, he says this, James Freeman, after Twitter did an SEC filing predicting that they're under 5% fake accounts. It doesn't look like Elon Musk is buying that number.
No, he's not. And, you know, he may be doing another public service here. We talk about how cool it would be if he turned Twitter back to a free speech platform, took away the biased, partisan ideological censorship. Well, maybe this is another public service, kind of opening the hood, pulling back the covers on Silicon Valley social media.
Francis, Twitter is being exposed.
Yeah, I think it's really a red flag. I mean, how do you explain the fact that many people on this network gained tens of thousands of followers in 5 minutes? I mean, are those real people that are just suddenly following or unfollowing people? Yeah, I think that all of these algorithms, what they've censored, what they've taken away, the rationale behind, you know, canceling accounts or restricting accounts or whatever. And now they're, you know, they're saying this disinformation czar wants to be have verified Twitter users be able to edit other people's tweets.
Yeah, you heard that in the previous segment, didn't you? The new truth minister saying, well, I am a blue check. I'm a bluebird on Twitter, and I should be allowed to edit other people's tweets because some people shouldn't be on there. Well, now Musk is finding out, looking at SEC filings and Twitter, what it claims it has is actual members versus what might be robots just spamming over and over the same thing. I mean, I had at one time 40 million Twitter followers. Well, I could have said that. You think they would question me? Maybe I could still do it. But that is the other point. A lot of these so-called influencers, did they really have that many following them, or were they using robots to make it look like they did? Which means all that devalues Twitter. So Elon Musk today said that he's putting the Twitter buy on temporary hold. It's a $44 billion acquisition. He's got the money, although he's losing a lot of money. Tesla in China is off something like 80%+ right now. But he tweeted out earlier today that the number of spam and fake accounts on social media. He said the spam bots that mimic real people, is Twitter underreporting them when they claim they have X number of followers? Are they really there, or are they just a figment of a robot? So he said the Twitter deal temporarily on hold pending details supporting calculation that spam fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. He's skeptical it's that low. I would be too, especially if I'm going to put in $44 billion. Absolutely. I want full verification. Oh, and Musk is a very smart guy. The problem with fake accounts on Twitter is not a secret. That's been known for some time. But how much have they been fudging it anyway? And speaking about being smart or not smart, Musk tweeted out something today that is really upsetting the leftists. Actually, his last evening it came out. It said, Biden's mistake is that he thinks he was elected to transform the country, but actually everyone just wanted less drama. Basically, was saying that Biden's mistake is proof being rich won't make you smart one way or the other. And, of course, liberals are quick to jump on that and fire it back at Musk. So we got more drama. Isn't it a great time to be alive? I tell you what, it's a great time to have this program because every day I come in here and I start putting on, I got to throw that out. I don't have time for it. I've already stripped three things from this program today as we move through it because of other things that came up. Spend hours preparing for it, then I throw away a lot of it. But that's all right, as long as I give you the best program I can. And coming up, a survey taken in six battle states on red hot button issues. Stand by. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. Keep that production.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's been a survey that has been conducted that I think could shine a lot of light upon what's going to happen in our upcoming elections. And this survey has a lot of different information, excuse me, getting a little hoarse here, as to what you can expect to see happen. Our guest is John Schweppe. He is with the American Principles Project. What exactly is the American Principles Project? Let's begin there, John.
Yeah, so we are a conservative group based out of D.C., and we, you know, we're a think tank. We have stuff on that side, but we're also a super PAC, and we engage directly in campaigns and elections, really trying to fight on these pro-family issues.
So you definitely have a bias, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I always want to do that for the audience. Yeah, I always want to do that for the audience to make sure that they understand where we're going with this and why you're saying some things you did. So you guys did a survey of six battle states on some of the hot-button issues. Hot-button issues, to me, would be one of the ones you've got there right there at the top, and this is the states of Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. One of the things, let's jump to the one that I think a lot of parents have in front of them right now, sexual topics in schools. How did that survey show?
Yeah, so we looked at, you know, there's the question of the bill in Florida, right? What the left inaccurately called the Don't Say Gay bill, but really it was I believe it was called the Parental Rights and Education Act. And when we looked at that, you know, we looked at should parents have a right to basically say these schools shouldn't be teaching instruction on some of these radical sexual topics through kindergarten through third grade. And 60% of voters in these battleground states said they supported that law, 34% opposed. We also did something that's becoming more of an issue, parental notification. You know, some of these schools, there's been stories about this, where a kid is at school and they're identifying as transgender, but the schools are not telling the parents about this. And obviously that creates all sorts of difficult situations where, you know, parents and kids are not communicating.
Well, that was the whole purpose of the Florida bill, that you had to let the parents know if you're going to be teaching it, and at certain ages they would not be teaching.
That's right. And so on that question, 59% of voters said they supported a law requiring the schools to disclose that information to parents. Only 30%.
Wait. Are you saying 59% of them a favor? Don't say gay.
No, that was 60%.
Yeah. And then it wasn't don't say gay, but they just made it up to be that, didn't they?
That's right. No, and we've actually seen even outside our survey, when pollsters nationally have called it the Don't Say Gay bill, but explained what it did, even then majorities of voters supported it. I mean, like, the less arguments on this simply did not work and are not working.
I think that also gets back to a basic premise of parents. If they're truly going to be involved in raising their children, they care about them. It's my child, it's not your child. Whereas Biden the other day, in addressing teachers and educators, said that, you know, they're your children, they're your children. And we're saying, hell no, they're not your children, they're my children.
Yeah, no, that's an old progressive thing. It actually goes back even to Hillary Clinton's book, right? It Takes a Village.
Right.
You know, this belief that the government owns your kids and that you're just kind of a temporary custodian. And that's not how we view the world, and that's not how most Americans view the world. And so I think it's smart for Republicans to highlight that and push back against it.
All right, so on women's sports, now here's another issue. Now we're moving into not just what we teach kids at school, but how things are played out in school, and in particular when it comes to athletics and women are competing for college scholarships in high schools, and suddenly there's a guy that can't make the men's team, but he's gone transgender and he can beat every woman in there, and he will likely get a college scholarship, and all their time and effort goes to waste.
Yeah, so we actually, it's interesting on this. We did two questions on women's sports. First of all, we just asked them outright if you supported a law to protect women's sports and not allow transgender men to compete. That one said 56% of voters supported and 33% opposed. So they supported a law banning biological male participation in women's sports. Now, we actually, and we did this on a few of our questions, but we wanted to see how the left's best argument and how the right's best argument worked when they were pitted up against each other. And so when we did that, you know, the left making the argument that trans women are women and that they, you know, it's unfair discrimination to not allow them to play women's sports. Amazingly, the numbers actually moved in favor of the ban. So it became 67-19. So we found this on a number of issues where once we gave the left's best argument, voters actually rejected the issue even more, which kind of tells you where people are at on this.
Sex change for minors. This one.
Yep,
this is another. This fits within that, but we're talking about minors now. We're not talking about college level or even high school level. High school level is still a minor, but they're talking about they're pushing that on kids in the third and under grades.
That's right. No, so we asked. You know, some states have proposed banning puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, physical sex change surgeries for children under the age of 18. Would you support a ban on that? 56% said they'd support, 34% said they'd oppose. And again, when we did the argument test where we, you know, made the conservative argument on this is that these sex changes are wrong, like it hurts these children, it locks them into permanent, you know, sterilization, all sorts of awful things. And the left's argument is you have to do it or else, you know, the kids might kill themselves. right? Like, I mean, that's pretty much their, they call it gender-affirming care, that it's life-saving treatment. When we compared those two arguments, then 63% supported the ban and 22% supported the
left. So when they really understand, and get past the narrative, then they recognize, no, that's not such a good, it equates to me where we've got pro-abortionists running around now saying that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, then abortion will be outlawed and banned. Well, that's not what it does. It lets the states decide. Right. And then they say, well, if women can't get there, then they'll use coat hangers and the women will die. Or actually they say, I don't know if they want to use the term women, pregnant people will die.
Pregnant birthers or whatever.
But 800,000 babies die a year with the abortions. And I'll guarantee you there will not be 800,000 women undergoing a coat hanger abortion.
Right, right. Yeah. So, I mean, this is, you know, we see this across the board. It's really encouraging. I think the American people are rejecting the left's radicalism. And I'll tell you, you know, as I said, we have a super PAC. So a big part of this poll for us was measuring these messages so we could know what to do in November or as we get closer to November with our ads. And on the sex changes for kids question, what we found basically is that this is like one of the most powerful issues. And so I'll tell you right now, I mean, this is breaking news on Larry Connor's show, but we are absolutely going to run ads on this in the fall. And we're going to do it in a number of swing states. And we're really going to focus on it because I think this is where the left is vulnerable. And, you know, your ordinary voters, like people who maybe don't identify as Republican or Democrat, but they have kids and they want to make sure they go to a good school and all of that, they see this stuff and they reject it. And if Republicans are willing to actually make this argument and not run away from it, they'll win big.
So, breaking news on Larry Connors USA, the American Principles Project is going to run ads in certain states saying – they're trying to take your child and transform them. And are you in favor of that? And it's pretty much, is that pretty much what the ad's going to deal with?
We might soften the language just a little, but you're right.
Oh, you're going to soften it. Well, why would you soften it?
Not too much. Not too much, Larry. We'll be pretty cool.
Though. All right. Tell me this then very quickly in the last 30 seconds. You did these surveys. These are 1,200 likely voters in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. I don't see on here your percentage of variance on there that could be off, but I'm sure that's covered. Is it really, do you think it really reflects where we are now and where we will become 2022 in November?
Yeah, we went with a very reputable firm on this, On Message. They're really credible and used by a lot of the groups out here. But, you know, I think what this tells us is that Republicans need to run to the cultural issues. You know, we tested some other issues too, like economics and big tech and all sorts of things, and they were fine. But the strongest issues are the culture war issues, especially when it comes to our kids. So you got to run on that, Republicans.
I think that's a great idea. I appreciate your time very much, sir.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Yeah, we'll do it again as you guys advance. Again, John Schwepping with the American Principles Project, and I appreciate your time.
Thank
Schweppy,
you.
I apologize. I mispronounced it. Thank you, sir. Coming up, calling Chief Justice Thomas, basically a nasty name, and it's acceptable because the man doing it is another black man, a member of Congress. Stand by. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let me ask this question of Brother Thomas. Why are you such a hater? hate on civil rights, hate on women's rights, hate on reproductive rights, hate on voting rights, hate on marital rights, hate on equal protection under the law, hate on liberty and justice for all, hate on free and fair elections. Why are you such a hater? And you think you can get away with it, escape public scrutiny, because you think that shamelessness is your superpower?
Mr. Chairman, a point
of
order.
Well, here's a news flash,
Mr. Chairman,
straight from the House Judiciary Committee.
Point of order.
Truth crushed to the ground will rise again, and truth will be your kryptonite.
Your truth will be your kryptonite. That is Congressman Hakeem Jeffries in a committee hearing saying, Justice Thomas, why are you such a hater? Let me ask my brother. Why are you a hater? You know why Jeffries frames it that way and says that you hate women, you hate civil rights, you hate voting rights, you hate fair voting? Because Justice Thomas is a black man who thinks for himself. He doesn't sit around in the urban plantation waiting for somebody to come pick him up by bus, take him to the poll, vote, take him back home, say, we'll pick you up next time. As many black Americans, Latino Americans, any minority American, many do have the ability to think for themselves, but you're not allowed to do so. You get out of step, you're not recognized. The hate is not coming from Thomas. It's coming from folks like Jeffries. That's the underlying part of that story. But again, it just gives him an opportunity to attack another black man who actually thinks for himself. Clarence Thomas, just one example. So we have a justice coming on board. You remember, Justice Jackson has been nominated. Kente Jackson. And she could not answer a question posed by Senator Marsha Blackburn. You remember that back in March in her appearance confirmation hearings before the Senate? What is a woman? Justice Jackson on the appellate court already I'm not a biologist. I can't define that. I still say I wish you'd asked her two more questions. One is, well, are you a woman? See if she can define it that way. And then is 2 plus 2, what is 2 plus 2? And if she answers 4, so you're a mathematician. Well, the San Diego County Board of Supervisors moving forward to help Judge Kenton G. Jackson by a vote of 3-2. They ratified the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. Now, that was an international treaty adopted in 1979. Then President Jimmy Carter in 1980 signed it, but it was never brought to the Senate for ratification. But the ordinance goes farther than the definition of woman, simply identifying as women. I mean, we are now 2022, not 1979. And the county decided to vote by a 3-2 margin. Women and girls shall mean those who identify as women and girls, including transgender women and gender nonconforming, da-da-da-da-da. Gender would mean characteristics of women, men, girls, boys that are socially constructed. Gender equity means that they can all conform to full equality. The local TV station said the definition of women will now include trans women and intersex women. There's your definition. It doesn't make any sense, but who cares? It's like Calvin Klein has now, in its ad campaign, a pregnant man. A pregnant man. A columnist for the Washington Examiner wrote a few years ago, the idea that a man could be pregnant would be bizarre. Well, in this bizarre world, it's accepted and endorsed and pushed in mainstream by the progressives creating fiction. A man cannot be pregnant. But these folks are so fouled up now that the Calvin Klein ad, as he said, can create fiction whatever he wants for its art. Just shows how badly delusional these people are. You can't even use the term pregnant woman. That's offensive. Pregnant people. Well, I just make a distinction between pregnant people and pregnant animals. But when it comes to people, there are only two genders as God put on earth, and only one of them has a womb. And only one can bear a child. And only one other can create a child, other than the Spirit of God. Thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.